Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
This is the home of Jerry's percentages.
Where's my damn twisty straw for the pina colada?
This is Overdrive on TSN1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
The boys are back. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, and Jamie Noodles McLennan.
I'll tell you what. Any female listeners, I get it. I had a golf roommate for a weekend. 4 days. 5 days. And I didn't sleep very well on this trip. And I looked at him. All he did was snort, cough, up phlegm, fart, smelt, and drank. And I look at him, I'm like, why do women even go out? Like, what?
Was he door open moose guy too? Or was he like...
Oh yeah. I had the same experience. The exact same experience.
I just looked and I'm like, how could a girl even like this? But like, why, like us? Because all we did was burp. This is what he did. He burped, he farted, he coughed up phlegm and spit, took massive deuces, and just... I was like, what is this guy?
And nothing changes when he gets home and he's with his wife.
And he just walks around like everything's perfect. Like, hey, pal, like, what? And I'm like, I get it, ladies. Like, I would not...
Yeah,
no.
I get it, too. I get it.
I don't know how you have roommates. Like, I always get my own room when I go on the road with the guys.
Yeah.
This was just like a guy's golf trip.
I know, but like...
And this guy's a really one of my best friends, like, really friendly, but I just watched this, and I'm like... If I was a girl, I wouldn't put up with that. The snorting and the, like... This was a signature move. I'm like, you're disgusting. He also pulled a weird one, too, I've never seen before. Brushed his teeth in the shower.
Oh, actually, I've seen that. I've heard of that before.
I do that a lot.
Really?
Why?
In the shower? So where do you leave your toothbrush when you're, like, done brushing your teeth?
Well, I've got a little mirror set up in there. Like, I've got the...
By the way, so this I'll guy took three showers, like, a day.
Well, a lot of guys shave in the shower.
I shave in the shower, too.
You do all... What are you, Kramer? Like, are you making soup in there?
Why do you brush your teeth in the shower? I don't need to brush my teeth in the shower.
Or shave in the shower.
I shave in the shower all the time because I don't use shaving cream. I just scrape it off, yeah. Like,
wow.
I got a weird face. Like, I don't have to... Like, I'm not one of those guys who have to lather it up and, like, and all. I just literally take the razor, and once it's... I shower... Like, I have piping hot showers, so it's almost like a steam room.
You're in the steam.
And then I shave it off. It almost comes off like butter. But what I do is I'll brush my teeth when I first wake up, go work out, and then after the workout, when I'm showering, I'll come in and brush again because I feel like your breath is always bad after a workout. So I'll give it a little extra.
Oh, that's an interesting move.
And then, but I shave, and then I come out. But yeah, I do a lot of things in the shower.
See, I've never been
down
that
too,
road.
But it ain't shaving and brushing my teeth. Jibs.
I'm not making cabbage and soup.
Are you
like
in
Kramer.
There for like a 45-minute shower
I'm
routine?
I'm a pretty efficient guy.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or less.
Catch and release in the shower. Get me out of here.
Wash my hair. I clean my whole body. Kabert used to make fun of me for my showers.
Yeah,
he called it a walkthrough, drive-through.
You did a walkthrough.
But if you wash your hair and you scrub your body down with soap all over and then you rinse it off, what else do you want to do in there?
I don't know what else you're doing. I guess you shave and you brush your teeth and
people that
do
are
your
showering
taxes.
For like more than 5 minutes, what are you doing?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't get too crazy. I'm just saying that I try to be efficient. And to me, efficient is brushing and washing and doing all
you got
these
a whole routine.
At the same time. Yeah.
All right, that's fine. Darren Dreger will join us here from the GM meetings. The Raptors yesterday, they end up losing at home. They had won a lot of games in a row. They're so far into the first seed. Like, people are freaking out about the comments about the Raptors versus the refs and the ejections late in the game and what DeMar had to say. And personally, I don't think Dwayne Casey helps his case when... out of one side of his mouth, he's like, we got to get it under control. We can't allow this to throw us off kilter when we're in the playoffs.
But he gets tossed.
He gets tossed. And then I believe he's like accusing a fan of saying it. It wasn't even really him that was actually saying what was said, or that's what he's claiming. But then out of the other side of his mouth, he's like, all we want is fairness and consistency.
Right.
Well, you can't kind of claim conspiracy theory that you're not being treated fairly.
Right.
But at the same time, be like, well, but I don't want my players to get into it with the refs. So I don't know if Dwayne Casey's doing himself any favors. But here's why I actually appreciated what I saw yesterday. They're getting geared up for the playoffs, and they're a fiery bunch. And like I said, they're five games into the first seed. It's over.
Yeah.
And they're not just mailing games in. They could have just taken the loss yesterday and been like, who cares? We're still five up. We're
they're that passionate about it. They're like,
I like it. I like the message. Now, I'm not saying they can get stupid with the refs. You cannot win that fight. It was like Bautista with the umpires for years. And up here, we've got the inferiority complex to begin with as the only Canadian team and the only Canadian fan base.
Right.
You start selling to the fans that they're treating you differently. We'll look at it as a Canadian bias. Now, the NBA's out to get the only Canadian team. This is the easiest market to play
that
card.
They've done it for themselves, though. Everybody that's all mad about the people in America that don't think they're for real, the Raptors are like a Facebook marriage. That's what they are. Looks so good, but then when you get down to the nitty-gritty, you go into Washington and get dummied 4-0, you lose to Cleveland every time. You don't win.
They got
to
prove it in the
playoffs. What the hell do they want people to think about them?
You got to prove it in the playoffs.
They are the Facebook marriage of basketball teams.
Right. That's a good analogy. But again, that's why I like what I saw yesterday. Yeah. I'm not saying
you
can't get stupid and ejected.
You know what people do on Facebook? They're like, oh, yeah, I love everything about this. This is really, you know what it's like in real life? Garbage.
Well, not always.
Not always.
Just always garbage. Every marriage in the world is horrible.
Yeah.
That's your claim?
Well, technically, I mean, we're...
I don't know about Fergie's, but in this room, there's three that are good. That's about all I know.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, we'll get back into the Raptors later this afternoon. But I like them being fiery. I like them being into it. And, yeah, you don't want to see the ejections. You don't want to see them lose. But they could have easily just taken that and said, forget it. Who cares? We know where we're going, and they didn't. All right, the GM meetings in the NHL are underway down in Florida. It's all about goaltender interference.
Yep.
The review process. That's been the story of the year. And joining us now, courtesy of Valiant Financials, our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. What's happening, Dregs?
I'm still trying to make sense of the Facebook marriage comments, but no, it's all good. You know, it's a little overcast right now. I'm not going to complain too much. Last few days have been great, so no complaints.
Oh, yeah. Facebook marriages, you make it seem like everything's great, Darren, but in real life,
yeah,
it sucks. So the people that are like, oh, look how much I love this guy or this and that. But guess what happens in real life? It's no good.
Nah, I hear you, brother.
Just a warped mentality.
Yeah, it's fake news.
Just such
saying.
A warped mentality. well, like we were saying before we had you on here, that the overarching story of the whole season has been about goaltender interference and the review process. And now all the GMs are in the room and they're going to be talking about it. Yet, I don't hear any options to kind of solve it. I mean, are you hearing what is being proposed for them to figure this out, or how are they going to handle this?
Yeah, well, there wouldn't be any options that have been proposed. There's scenarios that have been discussed, and they're not, you know, the league and the general managers assembled here in Boca. You want to get to that point between now and Wednesday? I guess we're going to find out. Among the scenarios, status quo. Maybe getting each general manager, every coach and the players, to understand what the rule is specific to goalie interference and what incidental contact in the blue paint is. That might be an easy adjustment. You know, beyond that, it gets more complicated. I mean, it's been suggested, and I wouldn't say majority, but I would say a number of general managers would approve of the situation room handling the final decision of the goalie interference call as opposed to the official on the ice. Who has final decision on that? Then if you want to go to the follow-up extreme, you know, and it wouldn't happen this year, although it happens in the playoffs, you know, you bring in, like Major League Baseball does, a current official or an ex-NHL official into that situation room on a nightly basis, you know, to help determine what the best outcome is. And that individual with, say, Chris King or someone from hockey operations would be on the headset with the officials on the ice to determine that. And the fourth and final scenario is interesting to me, and I think it's the least likely to happen, but it's interesting nonetheless. It was suggested by a manager today, take away the coach's challenge. Not the video review process, just don't allow the coach to issue the challenge. So if there's a sketchy call or a sketchy play where there might have been goalie interference, well, the situation room in Toronto is going to manage that anyway. So by doing that, maybe you take away the monitors on the bench And then that opens up a whole new scope because, guys, how many times do you see on a video replay or just on a cutaway shot where the coaches, the head coaches and the assistant coaches are peering down over that monitor?
That's the whole game now, Darren. It's like I look at it and I'm like, I wish they would take those iPads off the bench. It doesn't even seem like hockey anymore.
I'll tell you what, O-Dog, and I doubt they do it, but there's a few that would like to see that happen. And it goes beyond the scope of goalie interference and offside and just to the general way the game is called. Because now, you know, coaches are going after the officials over hooking, over holding, over anything that might have happened during that play because they can see it on their monitor below. So, you know, the unintended consequence of goalie interference and offside challenges, everything else is introduced into that scope. So I doubt any of that happens, but I can tell you that there was at least one manager and there was at least some support for the idea of taking it out of the coach's hands.
Dregs, you and I were texting a couple of weeks ago about a couple of goaltender interference calls, and I thought to myself, has the league entertained, for lack of better words, I'll just throw it out there, like educating people? How many times have we seen with suspension videos or things like this is why this person's being suspended? Right. Like almost, and I know that they're not up for the PR war, but like to me, explain why that was a goal. Like, and I know they don't want to do it every night because it's just adding to workload, but I think if there's a process, like, this is what the league is thinking, this is why it wasn't a goal, or this is why it was a goal. To me, at least, you're getting the mindset of fans that are okay, this is what they saw. But again, all I'm doing is adding workload and creating more problem. But at least you're getting some understanding of why it was called a no goal or why it was called a goal. And what did they see and what was their interpretation?
Well, look, Noodles, they're, it's a good thought, and there are two ways to look at this. In fact, over the last, since the All-Star, when, you know, Coley Campbell and the league met with the assembled coaches and managers there and the officials on hand and some owners and reminded these guys, just don't overthink it, right? Like, don't go looking for something that isn't there. Look for the egregious. If the egregious isn't there, then you know, push away from it. From that point forward, what the league has done is send out a video on a nightly basis. It's not nightly, but it goes out the next day by 5:00 Eastern. Every coach and general manager in the NHL gets a video presentation and an explanation of why that was a good goal or why it was overturned specific to goaltender interference. But that never goes public.
Right.
So, you know, the clubs have that at their discretion, but they're actually talking, and it's a good point you bring up, they're actually talking about publicizing that. And they haven't gotten to that point yet. Maybe they'll, you know, come to a determination of whether or not that's useful or helpful in the next couple of days before they break apart on Wednesday. But at the very least, I feel like that's something they would do as a step in the right direction because, again, in the bigger picture here, guys, you know, right now the league is trending at 6,500 goals. Right now, actually not trending. That's what's been scored, around 6,500 goals. There have been 170 challenges. And I think between the officials and hockey operations, it's six or less where there's been some debate. There's been, you know, a difference in between the two sides in the opinion of how that should play out. You're talking about a small percentage, but we talk about it because some of them seem to be pretty obvious, or we feel they're obvious. If you handed out a video explanation like that on a nightly basis, that might kind of soothe the public and the media by example.
We're Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, live at the GM meetings down in Florida. And this is what I've noticed here, Dregs, is that we keep hearing that the GMs have different views on it. The coaches have different views on it. The league wants to figure out what they think can work for them. I never hear anyone in the game talk about the fans and what the fans really want. And, you know, as a fan myself, I've been pushing this for quite some time just to get rid of the review. I just don't want it. I don't like it. I don't need it. And I want them to go back to the way they did it for 98 years. And I would guess, Dregs, with every botched review, it's getting closer and closer to me being in the majority, if not fully in the majority. And I don't sense they're worried about how the fans feel about the whole process and how these reviews are taking away from the entertainment value. I'm not sensing they're even worried about that.
Well, look, Brian, I mean, they are worried about it. Could the National Hockey League be the first professional league to abandon video review? Probably not. But I can tell you that there is an undercurrent of that. There are some here in Boca that would be supportive of that. I just don't think that it's the majority that would support that. Because as Bettman warned years ago when they first implemented and introduced video review, it's a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. And although it was first introduced to, you know, again, I use the word egregious because that's a word that Colin Campbell and everyone in the National Hockey League throws out, right? You want to avoid the obvious mistake. But as soon as you give the tool to the coaches and the managers to use, you know, in their advantage, they're going to make it their advantage. I mean, that's just a coaching tool. That's what you do. So it was suggested that maybe the best case or the most successful option would be to eliminate video review entirely from goaltender interference. Not going to happen, but it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I'd love to see it happen. We're Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider. Getting ugly in Ottawa. I'm sure you heard of these billboards, the Melnick Out billboards in Ottawa that the fans
set up. Four of these billboards. Is that the new move now?
Four of them went up today, right?
Today throughout Ottawa, and it was all about like a GoFundMe, and it's getting ugly in Ottawa for Eugene Melnick. And I just, I mean, and the Carlson stuff still hanging over them. I mean,
what do you do though?
That's what I'm wondering. What can you do? And you can't. You're not going to push out an owner. He's not going to sell the team because of a couple of billboards, but. I haven't seen this in quite some time, if at all, in the NHL anyway.
No, not recently anyway. And it's funny you guys say that, and I'm not going to suggest that this is the reason behind it. We've seen Pierre Dorion here, general manager of the Ottawa Senators, a couple of times. Yesterday, Bob McKenzie and I were enjoying poolside time. he sauntered by in a Houston Astros hat, which was comical to me anyway. And didn't spend a lot of time. He kept going. And then today, you know, you had, you know, a good collection of the general managers, you know, Lou Lamoriello included, who stopped to talk to the GM or to the assembled media. And Pierre Dorion, although I personally didn't stop him to interview him, but he sauntered through and, you know, a couple of guys stopped and he, you know, for example, didn't have an opinion on the goalie interference issue. I wonder now that you say that I wasn't aware of that. I wonder if he was just trying to dodge the public eye for the obvious reason because of what was going on there. That's interesting.
I could see it. I mean, what's he supposed to say? It's the owner. He, you know, what can he say? And you don't want to come out and blast the fans because they're also the fans. So he's in an absolutely impossible position.
You're right. It's a tough spot because they've had such a bad season. And the season kind of almost won't end. Remember, they were behind by 5 games. Like everyone else was caught up, and the Carlson thing, and they're playing better since the trade deadline. But it's
irrelevant.
It's the Walking Dead.
Now, if you're a fan, you want to lose so that you get a better odds at the draft.
Dead right now.
Like, hey, so you guys, you want the most important thing that's happened to me today?
Yes.
And aside from all the goalie interference nonsense. It didn't happen to me. I didn't word that right. But my most interesting experience today was watching the lifeguards here outside the Boca Beach Club frantically getting people out of the water because there were a number of sharks that were swirling about.
No way.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, man. I'm standing on cement right now, and I'm like, I may be a lob wedge from the water. I'm not. That's as close as I'm getting in the next 2 days.
Oh, you're preaching the choir, Dregs. I do not do natural bodies of water.
Yeah, I'd never.
You should tell Frank Saravelli to let's go for a little dip in the ocean and throw a big T-bone out there.
I thought you were going to say you were walking by the pool and dropped an O. Henry in there. Saw people like scatter.
Bill Murray routine.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay on the sand. Stay on the concrete, Dregs. Don't get crazy.
Stay safe, pal.
All right, buddy. Enjoy it down there. We'll do it again later in the week.
Okay, fellas. Thanks.
There's Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider. On Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. Again, Ray is off basically all week. I think he's coming on tomorrow for a bit, but he may gas us tomorrow, too. He may wake up and be like, forget it.
It must be house-related. Like, we don't even talk to him about his house anymore.
No, I'm not going down that path. He gets too rattled. Every time we talk to him about his new house or the renovation, something went so sideways on him.
Where he's like, I've got my lawnmower in my kitchen right now. Like, he gets so rattled.
It's not cool.
Can you imagine how terrifying that would be if you were on, like, a paddleboard 40, 50 feet out into the ocean, and you look back, and the security guard's like, you got to come in. There's a couple of great whites just cruising around out there.
See, this is why.
I'd pass out. Like, I'd actually pass out.
I would stop breathing. I couldn't do it. Yeah. I don't like any kind of bugs, insects, snakes, fish.
How about a great white shark?
Yeah. See, this is why I don't go. I've been to every body of water as far as oceans and that. I never go in.
No interest. I'm a pool guy.
I also wear a hat, and like, I usually sit in the hotel room anyways. Yeah. Like, I let Steph go down by the pool.
You're a lobby bar kind of guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing wrong with a lobby bar. So anyway, we'll see what happens with the GM meetings throughout the week. And the Leafs, I mean, I guess Lou is down there, and that still continues to be a part of the chatter. Who's even going to be their GM next year? But it doesn't really matter right now because they're going to the playoffs. I mean, let's be honest. We're worried more about how they're going to play in Tampa tomorrow night and how they're going to be set up for a playoff game in a few weeks.
Yeah, you don't worry about that stuff. Like, I mean, it's amazing. I think Steve Simmons had an article or put it in his notes the other day about, like, Lou Lamoriello's contract status hasn't even really been talked about at all.
No.
But I think he's the type of guy, and I don't know. I mean, Shanny controls that, but it'd be like, yeah. All right, we'll just extend you for another year or two, whatever. Pretty much, I think he has a job as long as he kind of wants that job. Plus,
well,
as long as he's
sharp. Wouldn't you think that he's the kind of guy that would want to see it through a little bit? It's like, I was here, they were garbage. We're turning the corner. We have some star young players. I want to kind of see the end of this.
I would assume so. I don't get
the impression.
But there's
a lot of people that think the other two, Mark Hunter and Kyle Dubas, they are like,
they want to start taking over at some point. That's our belief, anyways, based on reporting that's been out there, that they have visions of being GMs in the NHL at some point.
Yeah.
So that's another
layer
to the battle.
Maybe if that happens, Lou just becomes like a special assistant to...
Well, he's 75 years old. I just looked it up. He's 75 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's still sharp and sound mind, so why
75 years old?
He's 75 years old. His birthday's October 21st. I just looked it up.
Wow.
But he took the job when he was 72.
Right. By all accounts, he hasn't slowed down. Like, he's up here. He lives in Toronto. It's not like he's going back to Jersey once a week.
He's a lifer.
Up in Toronto.
He's a lifer. And to me, like, I think you're right, O-Dog. I think he sees it through to the next phase, whether they win once or they're right there, whatever. Like, I think he sees it through. And I, just the knowing personalities, like, I don't know if Mark Hunter's the guy who wants to be a GM or if he wants to be, like...
Maybe run the whole scouting and personnel and behind-the-scenes kind of stuff.
Dubas is a guy, but... plus Seattle coming into the league. Like, you got to think that there's going to be some musical chairs. And Carolina's got a job open that nobody wants right now because of the owner.
As for Lou, though, and his contractual status, he is Mr. All Business. I don't get the impression like he would be expecting to be treated differently than he would treat anyone else.
Right.
Like, for 30 years in Jersey, I don't even know who his assistant GM was. But I would guess Lou would not have buckled to a deadline set by the other party. And what I'm getting at is, I don't think he would take it personally if Shanahan was like, we'll figure it out in the summer. You know, Lou's not sitting there being like, well, I'm not going to Boca Raton then and representing the team unless I get a contract. That's not the way Lou Lamoriello does business. He's got too much respect for Shanahan. They'll figure it out in the summer, but it's not germane to the current conversation anyway. It doesn't matter who their GM is anymore.
Right.
You know?
Not right now.
It's all about what's going on the ice.
Exactly.
And as of right now, the Leafs are comfortably into a playoff spot, and they continue to play really well. And it's about injuries and getting healthy, as we talked about in the previous hour, but they're in a good spot.
Yep.
And now Florida's 16 points back. It's over. Like, they are in. And we just wait for the playoffs, and we see what kind of damage they can do. Jack Armstrong will join us. He was a big part of the March Madness coverage on TSN. He'll continue to be. He's down there in Orlando calling the game for the Raps tomorrow night. We'll get his take on what went down yesterday down at the ACC. This Tyronn Lue story, The head coach of the Cavs is taking a leave of absence. They got 13 games left in the season, and he's out.
It's weird, man.
I mean, obviously something's...
Well, he cited health concerns, and he said he's had, you know, some heart issues. They can't pinpoint exactly what it is, but he's an insomniac now. He's not getting any sleep.
In pro sports, you're around each other, and Jamie, you might have a different take on it, but you always do a mental check of who you see. Like, I could always tell if a guy was late for practice within 2 minutes because it would be like, this guy's not here. Where is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
One day away from it, especially as a head coach, well, is a lifetime.
That's why I can't imagine he comes back this season, because the reports have been out there that he had been contemplating about doing this like earlier in the year. Why would you wait until this late into the season where you've got a few weeks before the playoffs?
Yeah, there's just so many. That's a 10% story where 90% we don't know what's going on.
Probably true. And Cleveland has been a soap opera all year, and it just continues.
It's been one of those
years.
This
is just one more chapter.
Yeah.
You know, it's one more chapter, and that suits the Raptors.
Didn't Steve Kerr miss like a full season? He had back.
But he had like really bad back issues, and I believe he had another ailment. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was really, really serious.
And the assistant coaches slid in.
Well, that was during the 73-win season.
Yeah.
The head coach wasn't there. They still won 73 games.
That just speaks to, like, and that team, they're that talented.
Yeah, Golden State's going to be all right, regardless of who their coach is.
Exactly.
Dante Bichette Sr. will join us. Bo Bichette's dad and longtime major leaguer. We'll get his take on where his kid's at, what Marcus Stroman had to say over the weekend, get his take on baseball in today's day and age. And we should touch on the Stroman stuff, where he came out and he said he's ready to see Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette in the lineup today. He's like, get them to the majors. And that's not going to happen, but it's Stroman.
It is kind of a weird thing how they're talked about so much. I saw them on TV last week before I went away. That was the first time I ever seen them.
Well, they weren't playing originally. Like, they've only had a couple of games during the spring because they're not making the team. Like, it's not happening. But Stroman, again, just threw kind of a grenade into it. Now people are buzzing about it, and we'll get into it. We'll talk about it next. Marcus Stroman had some interesting comments over the weekend, and Stroman will tell you what's on his mind, whether you like it or not. And he came out after Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette. They've been playing a couple of games recently down in the spring, and they were playing over the weekend. And Stroman said, I'm ready for these guys to be on the team right now. Now, he's not the GM, so he's not going to make that decision, and he's not a stupid guy. He knows they're not making the team. I think he was pumping the kids' tires.
I will say this, though. When you're a veteran player and you see young, talented people that you just have it in your head, you're thinking, I always used to wonder, like, a guy would score two goals in a preseason game and then on the plane home, get cut. Like, how do you cut a guy that just scored two goals? What if this was the start of something that was, I don't know, I just find it weird.
I could see that as a player because you don't care about the contractual stuff. You don't care about crossing the T's or dotting the
I's. All you care about is you think that guy's good, so why doesn't he play?
Exactly, and that's what Stroman was saying. Like, I don't have a problem with what he said. Like, I've had issues with other things Stroman has said in the past. This was not one of them. He looks at him, and he's like, these kids are loaded with talent, and I'd love to see them here because I think they can win. That's what he said. Now,
there's no less effective comment, though, as far... Like, management isn't going to say...
No, they don't care.
Oh, but Stroman likes this guy, so we better give him a better look.
But anyone worried about the feelings of Shapiro and Atkins, get real, okay? Right. They're not going to be affected by this. Who cares if they didn't like those comments either? They're the executives. They get paid a lot of money to figure all that kind of stuff out.
Right.
Everyone knows they're still in control. The one angle from this that I think could be concerning, even though, I don't think this is what he was thinking, Marcus Stroman. I think he was simply pumping their tires. He's like, they're great prospects. This would be cool to have them here.
Right.
The one thing that maybe he should have considered was, if these two guys make the team... Two vets don't make the team.
Right.
Which means a couple of fringe guys are probably hearing him say that, and they're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
So you'd rather Vladdy up here than me? Or you'd rather Bo Bichette up here than me?
Dude, that's pro sports, man.
But the thing is Stroman getting to the point where, like, he's got to weigh in on everything, though?
Well, he gets asked about it because that's the media's game. They know he's going to give you an answer.
But is he a lead? Like, is he the leader on the team? Like, is he...
Well, I don't know if he's the leader. I would say he's probably not the leader, but that job might be up for grabs.
He's really talented, but I think if he keeps it up, out.
Well, I don't think he's... Why, you get rid of him? Like, I think
if you were the GM and ran the team and this guy just kept piping off about everything and this and that and your contract and...
Well, that's kind of where I was going. Like,
I don't want to deal with it if I'm like, if I'm upper management. I don't want to listen to that.
But I don't think he's...
I don't care about the talent.
Even if, like Brian, you just said, you don't have a problem with the comments because they're true and...
Yeah, but what if you were the GM?
Well, that's fine, but they better have thicker skin than that.
Yeah.
Like, if Shapiro and Atkins can't take Stroman popping off every once in a while, then they can get the hell out as far as I'm concerned. I've never been concerned about how they feel about Marcus Stroman's comments, necessarily. Right. I've always been concerned about how his teammates feel about Marcus Stroman's comments. That's right. When you've really got a problem on your hands.
Yeah.
Now, to your point, though, if they decide they want him out, then they have the power to get him out. And that would not benefit.
It wouldn't be that hard.
No, it wouldn't be that hard. And he wouldn't be the first player in sports history that eventually the GMs just said, you know what, I'm not dealing with this anymore. But usually what happens before the GM decides, I personally don't want him there, he comes up with a reason why he believes his teammates don't want him there. And that's always, I think, it's a thin line that Marcus Stroman might be kind of dancing on.
That's what I mean. Like, I get it, and you say he's a good quote, he's a good young player, and it just, I'm going to use a hockey analogy here. Nazem Kadri, early on in his career to where he is now, I felt like Nazem was a guy that always you went to, like, the quote for him when he was, like, 21, and you're like, this guy is...
I think there was sometimes, too, though, Jamie, I don't even think he knew what he was saying.
But okay.
Like, he just was making...
I get a little
he's got to give you an answer, so he's going to start...
Right, so I get that, like... There's a little bit of parallel here. Like, Kadri is a really good young player. Stroman's a really good young player. And they go to him because it's a good quote. But, like, sometimes you just want the kids to worry about just playing. Just play.
Yeah.
Just play the sport.
Right.
And, you know, I never want to see Stroman get into a situation where, like, the organization is pissed off at him or they're tired of him because of something like that.
Well, and again, it wouldn't be the first time it's ever happened, but if you're using the Kadri analogy, guess what happened in the end?
Well, he grew up
and it worked out really well. Can you imagine this team without him?
Right.
And that's the thing. If Nonis was like, I've had enough and I'm just going to give him away because I don't like his quotes, that would have looked horrible today. And that's what you got to be careful with. That's my point about it. I'm not worried about Atkins and Shapiro. I'm going to give them more credit that they're not that thin-skinned.
Right.
But it's when the teammates start turning on them, if they turn on them, that's when it's inevitable that guy's going to go. Bo Bichette, though, again, he's going to be a player. Like, he's not going to make the team out of camp. We all know that. I'm not sure we're going to see him at any point this year, but he's going to get here at some point. And if he does, he'll be following his father's footsteps because his old man, Dante Bichette, played for a long time in the majors, and we've never caught up with him before. But he joins us now on Overdrive. Here is Dante Bichette Sr. How you doing, Dante?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing well, man. You played a long time in the league, and... We got a couple of former pro athletes themselves, and when they hung them up, they took off. They never tracked the game
again. Our host just used the phrase in describing your son, saying he's not going to make the team out of camp. What do you think of that philosophy where it's you should never judge anybody on what they can and cannot do? You know, there's all kinds of sports where it's like there's a timeline for this guy and he's not ready, but if you're good enough, shouldn't you play whenever you want? I mean, Stroman come out and made some comments saying these guys should be here. What are your thoughts on when you are ready or how to figure that out?
Boy, you know, I think they've got to get a little bit of AA time and then see where they're at this year. I think that's where they're probably going. So I think, you know, if they start killing it in AA, then it's, you know, they say AA, you could play in the big league. So, but there's moves to be made. They've got people on the team. I don't know the dynamics of that team. So when I hear Stroman say that, maybe he's, I don't know. Maybe he's just pumping up the rookies and it's all in fun. Maybe people are blowing it out of proportion a little bit. But I know the kids are having fun and they're looking forward to getting better this year.
Well, that's how I kind of saw it. Was I think Marcus was just he was pumping the tires of the two highly touted prospects, but at the same time, you know, if he's being honest, that means they're making the team and two guys aren't making the team that are big leaguers that have been kicking around the league for a long time. And I would assume that from your standpoint, you can kind of appreciate what it's like to be an everyday veteran and have the kids chasing you. I'm sure you went through that a lot throughout your career.
I think it's good for everybody. That's what makes us, you know, keep our game up. So, and I think also these young guys have surprised a little bit by how quick they look like they're getting ready, you know. So, it's just fun to watch for me. Luckily, I don't have to make any decisions.
With Dante Bichette. Yeah, we were, you know, it's going to be a storyline all year, and hopefully years to come for the Blue Jays and for Blue Jays fans. But when you watch your kid, Bo Bichette, start moving up the ranks, and he's always in every top 100 list for top-ranked prospects, does it remind you of your own journey? Did you take a different approach to getting to the majors? How would you compare where he's at to where you were at?
Heck no, I don't even think I hit 360 in high school. So I don't know. I've never been where he is. I know when I stopped teaching him and I started learning from him because he's got such a good head and hitting. I just kind of want to know because it's kind of a gift he's got. He thinks really well at the plate, so it's just fun to really listen to him and learn from him a little bit. He's beyond me right now.
Do you debate the prospects list when it comes out? Are you pushing for your kid to be even further up these rankings?
You know, boy, I debate them. I'm not saying they should be further up, but I think, you know, they're all over the board. They're basically an opinion, so I don't think they're, you know, the hottest, latest guy is going to get moved up. But, yeah, I don't care about them.
You're biased a little bit, though. There's nothing wrong with that. He's your kid. I'd be saying the same thing. Throughout your career, how did you feel about playing at the Sky Dome, now Rogers Center?
Oh, I love that place. Absolutely loved it. I thought Toronto was one of the coolest cities. Very clean city. I love Canada. I played 3 years in Edmonton. I got to see Gretzky play. McSorley used to come out and take batting practice with us. So I love it up there. I think Bo will too.
With Dante Bichette, we have a guy who's from Edmonton.
I grew up in Edmonton,
right here on the show.
It's a good city. I mean, were you with the Trappers then?
Yeah, I was with the Trappers. Wow. I was actually there the day they traded Gretzky. Oh my gosh, were you there then? Because
my mom and my aunt were crying in the kitchen.
I was too in Toronto in my driveway.
They were crying all over the street. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a bit of a big story in Edmonton.
It was just a touch of a big story, exactly.
Right. The Trappers were on the second page of the sports section that day, I think.
Yeah.
Is there one park you really want to see your kid Bo playing?
Oh, man, I would like to see him one day playing Coors Field. I think he grew up, you know, a Red Sox fan. I think he would love playing at Fenway. I think I'd just love to see him playing and enjoying himself in all of them.
Yeah, Fenway, he'd get a lot of opportunities as a Blue Jay.
So you played so many years. What type of advice do you give your sons as far as working up the ranks? And obviously you can give them some technical hitting advice, but do you give them kind of the behind-the-curtain advice as far as handling it or getting to the pros and how they should conduct themselves, whether on and off the field?
Yeah, I do, and there's a way to do it. You know, there's a way to handle yourself, and I try to help him. His mom's real good with it, too, but he's pretty good with it himself. He knows, you know, how far to take things, and he stands up for himself well, but he doesn't demand anything. He just said, listen, this is what I think. I know you guys make the decisions. This is how I feel. So he handles himself really well.
Well, we're all tracking them up here in Toronto. There's a lot of Blue Jays fans looking forward to seeing Bo Bichette make his Major League debut. And I know when that happens, you'll probably be in the building. And we look forward to having you up here in Toronto when that happens. Thank you for doing this today.
All right, thanks, guys. Look forward to seeing it.
Dante Bichette, former Edmonton Trapper. The Trappers.
Well, they used to
What is that, like a summer?
It's a AAA league or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they used to have, you remember the lefty Fernando Valenzuela?
Yeah, Valenzuela.
Yeah, he was up there for years.
He rolled through Edmonton?
Yeah.
He had a boiler on him. He would just...
Man, did he make an impact.
I was going to ask Dante, but I wasn't sure if I dated him, if he played with Fernando or not. I probably could have asked him that question.
He was in the house in Edmonton the day they traded Gretzky. That's a great reference to have.
Man.
Like in Edmonton the day Gretzky got traded.
I'll never forget the guy dropped the newspaper off. I was skateboarding at my buddy's, and he just dropped the paper on the ground, and we looked down. It said, Gretzky's been traded. So that would have been the day after Because I didn't have...
Yeah, I guess so.
That was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about that trade, but like, it's almost like a moment where you remember exactly where you were.
Yeah.
Like, I remember where I was. And I didn't grow up an Oilers fan, but I certainly grew up a fan of Wayne Gretzky and Grant Fear and a lot of the guys on that team. And, like, that whole city, like, shook. Like I say, people wanted to, like, Peter Pocklington had to, like, run for his life.
Yeah.
Like, the kidnapping wasn't because of the trade, but, like, people disliked Peter Pocklington.
It wouldn't have been shocking if someone did something really stupid.
And the owner
to the owner
here,
of the Oilers.
The owner here had some issues for years.
Harold Ballard was... I would have to believe he would be unanimously accepted as the most hated person ever associated with the Toronto sports scene.
Just because of the way he conducted his life?
Yeah,
or his...
and it's just he was cheap, he was vicious, he was mean, he turned on the players, they lost all the time, everything.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was a bad scene, man, when Harold Ballard was kicking around.
Like, I bet you, like I say, you probably sit around with your dad, and your dad will tell Ballard stories.
Absolutely. Yeah, he grew up with the Ballard era. Like, that was his prime era. It was not fun being a Leaf fan with him.
Wow.
And that's why the 80s, like, that's why, you know, it's this is the beauty of a long-standing franchise where you've got all these different generations that have been through so many different things and so many different experiences.
Right, right.
And having the conversations. Like, I'd always make the argument that the years from, like, 07, 08 through until recently were the worst years.
Yeah, 2012, 2013,
years.
Yeah.
But you talk to Leaf fans over the age of 50, they're like, nothing matches the 80s. Like, nothing matches that.
Or Ballard just...
Ballard tore the team a strip, and they were brutal all the time. It was just ugly. So
it's terrible.
Anyway, the Leafs are obviously not in that position anymore.
No,
they're a well-oiled machine, and they're on pace to the playoffs for the second time in a row, and we'll get back into it in the 6 p.m. hour. Jack Armstrong will join us to break down the first weekend of the March Madness tournament, also the Raptors versus the refs and what went down yesterday. We got to get back into the golf. What's up with Tiger? How do we feel about him 2 weeks out from the Masters? Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. It's just been a wild weekend. It always is at this tournament. But
are the Dookie Blue Devils still in?
They're still alive. That was the game I was at.
They'll win. You went there?
That's exactly. They were in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
How was it?
The game.
Was it crazy?
It was cool. It was a packed house. Like, I wasn't sure what to expect, and then I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? There's probably a lot of big basketball fans in Pittsburgh. They don't have an NBA team.
Yeah.
And it was a packed house. It was a really cool atmosphere. But I'll say this. That rink, I'm not a fan of the rink.
No, where the Penguins play?
Yeah, the new rink. It's like a convention center.
It's like a...
There's no life to it.
It's like an aluminum box with seats in it.
It sucks.
Well,
there's no character.
It doesn't suck, but it...
No, it's new-aged, but there's no character.
Yeah. It's like a cheap version of the new-age rinks.
That's kind of how I felt. Like, it took us a long time before you could even get into the rink where you could see the floor, but if you see the ice. Like, that's what... I like about the ACC, you walk in and you're like, I can see, we're in the rink.
You're in.
Let's get rocking. And it's buzzing and there's a bunch of different places to go and be. Yeah. And I just didn't sense that at all. But
cookie cutter, but yeah, you're right.
A lot of
these cookie cutters don't have the character and that because it's just, hey, we're building a $400 million structure.
I always thought the Air Canada Center, they could have made a really giant, big arena because they're so popular, but... You would take away character when
exactly.
you do that.
I like it. So Jack's coming up. We'll get back into the Leafs. Tiger, March Madness. Lots coming up in the final hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.